Chapter 16.
Stacy's problem, said Tim.
He paused briefly to hiccup, punch himself in the chest twice, and belch.
Stacy's problem is that she's still looking at me like I'm some little kid.
The bartender was a bald man in a tight-fitting sleeveless tunic, which displayed the numerous jagged scars on his meaty arms, each telling the story of a broken bottle bar fight he'd personally broken up. He nodded sympathetically.
Love is a foggy sea. The right woman, an elusive fish.
Business was understandably slow at 4 a.m, and he was going to milk the only 2 saps still left at the bar for all the coin he could.
Maybe she just doesn't like you, said Cooper.
He kept an eye on Tim's 4th, one for the road. The level of stone piss in Tim's cup was equal to the level in his own. Tim slapped his hand down on the bar.
That's because she doesn't know me, not the real me.
You tell him, brother,
said the bartender. Addressing Cooper, he said,
this little guy's got plenty to offer a woman.
He's a college dropout who co-owns a failing chicken restaurant with his sister, who Stacy can't even stand.
Of the three of them, Tim had had the most potential to make something of himself. Cooper was never going to amount to much more than a pizza guy, and he was okay with that. Whatever Dave accomplished in life, it wasn't going to make him any less Dave, but Tim could have been something. He'd breezed through high school without even cracking open a book. The physics teacher, Mr. Daniels, told him that he scored the highest grade per unit effort of any student he'd ever taught. But that was Tim's problem. Everything had always been so easy for him. He couldn't be bothered with anything that required any effort. He couldn't coast through college like he had in high school, so he dropped out and talked his sister into going in with him on that goddamn chicken hut. Cooper had encouraged it at the time. He had also dropped out of college, and entrepreneurship sounded like a great idea. But then, what the fuck did he know?
Those are things I do, said Tim. That's not who I am. She said my Facebook profile picture was cute.
The bartender flashed a wide smile and punched the air encouragingly.
Well, there you go,
Cooper pointed at the bartender.
You, quit pretending you have any idea what the fuck we're talking about.
He pointed at Tim.
And you, I'm only saying this because I'm your friend. You're no prize in our world, and you're starting to blow it in this one.
Huh, said Tim. This coming from a guy. Tell me, how many times have you pissed yourself since we've been in this bar?
He and Cooper both looked down at the puddle at the base of Cooper's stool.
Gods have mercy, said the bartender. Is that what the smell is?
We ain't talking about me,
said Cooper.
We're talking about you and Stacy. She's smart and funny and nice and smoking hot, whereas you're a miserable little turd of a person. You can either get your shit together or set lower standards for what kind of woman you expect to attract.
Tim nodded towards something behind Cooper.
You mean like her?
Cooper could have sworn the bar was empty. He turned around but saw nothing but empty tables and stools.
Who?
When he turned back to Tim, he was swapping his empty glass to the bartender for a full one.
God damn it, Tim. You know we need to get back on the road.
You've still got half a glass. I couldn't let you sit there drinking alone. You look like a fucking alcoholic.
The alky loop. Cooper knew this gambit all too well. Hell, he might have even invented it. The instigator is at the bar with a buddy, and it's long past time they both should have gone home. Maybe they have to get up early for work the next morning. Maybe it's only the 6th of the month, and their bar tab is already dipping into the money they've got earmarked for rent. Maybe their friends are lost in the wilderness, potentially chasing down someone with the means and motive to murder them. Whatever the reason, they've got no business being at a bar this late. As a means of defying good judgment and extending this brief reprieve from the miserable reality of what their life has become, the alky looper will wait for his companion to reach just below the halfway part of his drink before finishing his own. Under the pretense of not wanting his companion to have to drink alone, the alky looper will order a fresh drink for himself. He will then slowly nurse his new drink until the companion has finished what remains of his. Whether the companion is a silent fellow conspirator in the gambit or not, he will find himself with an empty glass and his friend with a full one, leaving him with 3 choices. 1. Sit there without a drink until his friend slowly sips from his full glass, which can be soul-crushingly boring. 2. Abandon his friend and go home, which makes him look like an asshole. Or 3. The alky looper's choice of preference, order another drink, thus perpetuating the cycle. His booze-addled brain may not have the capacity to make sure his dick is all the way out of his jeans before he pisses down his leg, but it's capable of some shrewd calculation when it comes to getting in just one more drink. Tim eyed Cooper's glass while taking a hummingbird-worthy sip from his own. There was only one way to end the alky loop. Cooper raised his glass, clinking it against Tim's.
Bottoms up!
He tilted his head back and gulped down what was left of his drink. When he looked down again, he saw that Tim had only managed to gulp down about a quarter of his drink. Tim smiled and shrugged, his eyes pointing in different directions.
Sorry, I'm smaller than you are.
Shit. Cooper had forgotten to factor in their vast differences in size. A quarter of a glass of stone piss in one gulp was actually a pretty solid effort for a person Tim's size. Cooper wasn't exactly the position Tim wanted him to be.
Why don't you have one more drink, said Tim, and then we'll be out of here.
Cooper nodded.
Good idea.
He grabbed Tim's glass off the bar and necked back the contents.
Hey, cried Tim. Not cool, man.
As he turned back to the bartender, he barely managed to keep from falling off his stool by grabbing hold of the bar.
Good sir, another round of stone piss, if you please.
Fuck that,
said Cooper.
It's time to go.
Tim's head wobbled as he laughed.
Don't listen to him. He's drunk.
He leaned in closer to the bartender and whispered,
Between you and me, I think he's got a...
The vomit shot out of his mouth like the decanter of endless water on geyser setting, only green. The bartender got the worst of it.
I've got a problarf, all right,
said Cooper.
His name is Tim.
Tim fell forward, his face splashing in the pool of vomit he'd left on the bar. The bartender, to his credit, refrained from repeatedly smashing Tim's face into the bar. He didn't look amused exactly to be dripping in halfling puke, but he didn't look angry exactly either. Cooper took the stoic resignation on his face to suggest that this wasn't an uncommon occurrence, just an occupational hazard.
Will there be anything else for you gentlemen tonight?
A polite way of saying, pay the tab and get the fuck out of my sight before I cut you.
Nope, I think we're good,
said Cooper. He removed the decanter of endless water from his bag and poured some water on the bar.
I'm real sorry about the mess. Tim, pay the man. Maybe throw in a couple extra gold pieces.
Talk to Julian, Tim mumbled, barely awake. He's got the money.
Dude,
said Cooper.
Julian isn't here.
Shit, where'd he go?
God damn it, Tim. Wake the fuck up.
Cooper pointed the decanter of endless water at Tim.
Geyser!
Tim flew off his stool and onto the hard wooden floor. Cooper deactivated the decanter.
What the fuck, man?
Cried Tim, soaking wet but wide awake.
Show a little courtesy, huh? I don't feel good.
He closed his eyes and curled into a ball on the floor. The bartender looked at Cooper.
Am I to understand you haven't the coin to pay for your drinks?
His voice was calm, maybe even a little hopeful.
Said Cooper. That would appear to be the case.
That is unfortunate.
The bartender lowered his gaze from Cooper's face to where Cooper was instinctively hiding his crotch behind the decanter of endless water.
Maybe we can come up with an alternative means of payment.
Shit. Cooper had reached some pretty low depths in his life, but he never had to fuck a dude to pay a bar tab before. His mind started racing for a compromise.
How about a crossbow?
This was Tim's mess. He could be the one to surrender his weapon. The bartender shook his head.
I don't believe in them.
What? Like, that they exist?
The bartender reached below the bar and pulled out a long, curved sword that looked sharp enough to slice a cow in half.
When I kill a man, I like to be up close and personal.
Listen, dude,
said Cooper.
I'm real sorry about all this. I swear, I didn't know we were broke when we came in here, but I'm not gonna have sex with you. It just ain't gonna happen.
The bartender looked at Cooper with disgust. It was the first genuine negative emotion his face had betrayed all night.
How could you? Why would you even? I don't want to have sex with you.
Cooper pursed his lips and tried to think.
Then what are we talking about?
I want the decanter of endless water.
Cooper breathed a long sigh of relief.
Well, this is awkward.
Just put it on the bar, pick up your friend, and get out.
While it was nice that sex was now off the table, paying a bar tab with a permanently enchanted magic item was hardly a more favorable solution. Cooper didn't know how much a decanter of endless water was worth, but he guessed it might be around the same amount of money he might consider fucking a dude for.
Don't get greedy, dude,
said Cooper.
Even if you unload it for half its value, that crossbow is worth way more than the price of a couple of bottles of stone piss.
He reached behind his back and wrapped his hand around the handle of his battle axe. This would either count as a diplomacy or intimidation check, both of which were based on charisma, which was not Cooper's strong suit. Still, the difficulty class might be low if the bartender was at all concerned with self-preservation. He was a big guy, sure, and he'd seen a few fights in his day, but he was still just a bartender, a second-level fighter at best. Was he willing to put his life on the line for a quick score?
Fine, the bartender finally said. Leave the crossbow, and don't ever show your ugly faces in this tavern again.
He lowered his sword. Cooper could live with a last-ditch, face-saving insult. He placed Tim's crossbow on the bar, slung Tim's inebriated, unconscious body over his shoulder, and exited the tavern.